We have been thinking together about there are ramifications, consequences, or rewards for anything we believe. We have various tastes, and we've kidded about some of them during these lessons. You know, if you don't like donuts, you know it's not a sin if you don't like donuts. If you don't like donuts, it's probably good. You'll probably fight belt sizes less. It's probably better. But there are some things that God has said, in essence, by how he talks about them, they actually do matter. Did you know I could dye my hair? I could. I'm just not going to bother. You know, that's the honest truth. I'm just not going to bother. It grows too fast. It'd be a disaster. It doesn't matter what color of hair you have. Please don't go yellow. Saw a girl the other day with yellow hair. I don't know how much dye that takes. I think it's more of a paint to get bright yellow hair. I like God's brush strokes, don't you? I like God's brush strokes. Some people have wild imagination. You know, there's nothing really wrong with it. I like impressionist paintings, if they're of decent topics, you know, subjects, but I like conservative ideas, but I like imaginations. But you realize one time Paul said this, casting down imaginations. There are realms where you and I were never handed the brush. That God already painted the beautiful picture, like the family, where he always wrote the truth down, like about the church, where he already gave us truth and principles and examples, like of love throughout the Bible, and especially his own. There are just things God never handed the brush to you or I. You know, I stink as an artist, physically. I can't even write neatly. My hand's too shaky. If you want a line that goes like that across the page, did you know I'm perfect at it? I just try to draw a straight line, and it goes like that. It does. It's just beautiful. Except if I need a straight line, I have to grab a straight edge. So there are some things I'm really good at. And you know, none of those things matter. Luckily, God is the artist. And God doesn't just make things beautiful. All his things work together beautifully as well. They're not just beautiful. They work together beautifully. You realize how rare that is. Did you know a beautiful Rembrandt can't do anything? It just hangs there. Now, we might stand and just stare at it and go, how in the world did you think of that and get that, to have that feeling on canvas? I'm in awe of it, but it doesn't actually do anything. God's beauty is sometimes the most beautiful when we see it doing what it's designed to do. Now, because we understand through this whole series that belief determines our behaviors, why, may we ask to begin with, are there so many churches in the world today? I hope it makes you and I very, very sad. Because I don't want anybody to hurt. I don't want them hurting now, and I don't want them hurting in eternity. But if this book is true, there is a place described as having the gnashing of teeth and wailing. I don't ever want to experience that. I've seen a few times in my life someone in extreme pain in an accident, and they're wailing, and they're convulsing. It almost has a physical effect on us, and I don't want to go to hell, and I don't want anybody else to go there. But if I know God's word, he paints a picture of there is a way to get everyone there. And God already paid all the prices. You just got to get the right ticket and stay on the right road. Get there the whole way. All this, since we got here sometime Thursday, you know, there's this wonderful little tool about this big. Now, I find most people just have it on their phone anyway. GPS. I have no sense of direction. It's horrible. In fact, I should like, if I think I should go left, it'd probably be better if every time I just turned right. It probably would work better. That GPS has been used even from the good hotel you brethren put us up in. What a wonderful breakfast. They liked donuts, but it's just fun. But we used it even to get here. It took literally, 4 minutes to get here, something like that. Why? If Emily can read it, why don't we just make sure? Because you see, it's a principle that God has held out since the beginning of time. And he says it about our salvation. Make your calling and election sure. There are some things I don't mind chance for. Have you ever said this? At a restaurant, someone takes you to a restaurant and they say, I don't really know. And you just tell them, surprise me. Just, hey, let me just try something else. I usually tell them, please, my mouth is a wimp. Don't burn me to death. Just, there's one little exception. I can't handle spice. My mouth's wimpy. But other than that, surprise me. I want to see something new. I want to experience something different. This is boring. Well, not really, but you know what I mean. This has been the exact same wording for almost 2,000 years. If you find anything new in it, as the old saying goes, it's probably not true. Do I really think in the year 2016 that you could see anything in the Bible that no one else has ever seen, especially when they could read it in the language in which it was first written? Is it possible? Absolutely, because God wrote it. Men don't just read it one time and go, done with that. You know, we have it. You know what Calvin and Hobbes is, the cartoon characters? It's just a comic strip, I guess you'd call it. You know, I have one, and I read it twice. If you hand it to me, you do know I'm not reading it again. I wouldn't bother. I know most of the things. I wouldn't even bother. Every time we open this book, we see something else because God wrote it. It's always, I never noticed that. Our last lesson in class about Job, I had never thought about Job's wife that way before. I'm embarrassed to say it. I just kind of went with the simple idea, if a woman would say, why don't you curse God and die, that she's probably just that kind of person and I don't know why he married her. Then I started thinking, that's one single statement in the middle of an unbelievable. You realize he's not the only one that lost the family. She did too, and she's mom. That's a connection that is incredible. Imagine Mary at the foot of the cross. That's not just the Son of God to her. That's her son. She has to watch it there. Would you have blamed her if she grabbed a Roman sword and killed one of them? Someone had to nail him to the cross. Mary might have had to watch it. I don't think anybody had to hold her back. I don't think they had to, because I think she was that kind of woman. There was a group of women that followed him out of Galilee that ministered to him of their substance, that had to be truly, incredibly spiritually mature women, because otherwise you would never have stuck with it. What a picture. All those things happen because someone has a belief, for instance, that he is really the Christ. We've watched the prophecies been fulfilled. We have watched the miracles. Now we have actually real, identifiable, first-hand evidences, eyewitnesses that he is the Christ. That belief fits with the facts of it, and their behaviors followed their belief. This morning, for just a few minutes, we want to think together about the church. Now, don't settle down for a long winter's nap. We were told in school, if you're ever going to preach on faith, don't tell them you're going to preach on faith. Can you imagine if I said I'm going to preach on faith? It's like, faith is, we've heard lessons on faith that so often we just get, it's the church, but don't doze off quite yet. It's the church, but we want to think about the church this way. If I don't have a true picture of the reality of God's design for the church, I don't believe it the way God described it, then my behaviors are not going to be as God wants it to be. Think about one of the most common beliefs about the church today that I submit to you is just a form of blasphemy to begin with. It pains me to even describe it, what it would say about the nature of God, but it is everywhere in our religious world. It is the most common view of the church in our religious world today, at least in, quote, Christendom. And it is this: from times eternal, God designed for Christ, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, to come down, sit on the throne of David, and rule his kingdom. And he came down and he took on our form to share with us, and we border on, if we believed it, it actually would be blasphemy, speaking evil of Almighty God, but they actually teach this. That God, you can't hardly think this way. They say God really hadn't noticed, at the very least, that men were going to crucify him instead of follow him. And his plan was to set up the kingdom, but they killed him. And so he's going to have to regroup and come back later to set up the kingdom. So what do we do now for a while till he can come back and reign on the throne of David in Jerusalem? And so he set up the church for a while before he comes back and sets up the kingdom. It is actually just blasphemy, because number one, you're saying God is not all powerful. He is not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. He lacked the power. It's just a horrible thing to say about God, but it is the most common view. Think about what it's saying. It's saying Jesus came to set up the kingdom, but men got in the way. So he set up the church as an interim measure for a while, till he comes back to set up the kingdom. Now, if that is the case, and that's how people believe it, their behaviors, we know, are going to be tied to their belief. Now, if the church is an interim measure, it's not really the direct culmination of God's eternal plan, would we be surprised then that people have this natural growth of that belief that, you know, it doesn't matter what church you're in then? Because you see, it's not God's eternal plan. It's this interim measure. Would we be surprised then they go to a parable like the branches, the branch and the vine and the branch, excuse me, and get the plurals in the right place there. And they say, well, you see, Christ is the vine, and the different branches are different churches. You see, if the church is just an interim measure, what difference does it make which one of the branches you're a part of? As long as you're tied to Christ, he's the one who came to set up the kingdom, but he's going to have to come back later and do that. But so as long as you're in some church that believes in him, that would be fine. The problem is, in that very idea in John, it says, if a man abide in me as a branch. It's an individual thing there, and we know that's the way it really is. But we shouldn't be surprised that their view takes forms. It has consequences. Have you ever asked, do you have a friend who goes to some church that maybe even opens the Bible some, but they don't follow what God said, but they call themselves Christians and they open their Bible some? And have you ever asked them this? Do I actually have to be in your church to be saved? You know what 99% of them are going to say, just openly, honestly? Well, no. We're one of the paths you can be on to get to heaven. You know, I've always had a problem with that.